Charlie and Kevin.
Well, this morning, David, how about yourself?
Sadly enough, has been checking into the net on 80 meters at 3.915. They call a net every day at 7 o'clock. So far, that's all I've seen.
I did about, 25 contacts, I guess, over the weekend, chasing those parks on the air and that, and trying to hone my skills and pull them out and then see if I can make contact. So far I've been doing pretty good. I even caught a station out there in California.
Neat. Well, they do that, and they should go out there and set up and start calling CQ. Well, I do have a contact here in Italy, on sideband of 40 meters. Let's see, when was that? May 8th. That would have been, it was at 2052 UTC, so that would have been in the, gosh, I can't even, it seems like it would be around 5 o'clock, 5, yeah, I think. Don't hold me to that.
Yeah, minus 4.
Can't even remember, is that what it is?
Yeah, I think it's minus 4, so that would be, 1600, so it would be like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
I couldn't sleep tonight, last night, so I was up at 3 o'clock, so I didn't get a whole lot of sleep. I'll probably eat some breakfast and conk out. I try not to fix any breakfast until my wife gets up. She usually gets up about between 7:30. I'm just making, maybe some coffee, but, that's not too noisy, but we don't have one of those loud coffee pots, but I don't like to close the doors of the bedroom because it makes that room warmer. It'll go up about 2 degrees or more. You close the door, and it's the warmest room in the house anyway, so, and she's hot natured, so, and then she's got that foot surgery, that ankle, or Achilles heel surgery, and I just want her to be comfortable.
Our bedroom's just the opposite. If you close the door, man, that's going to drop about 5 or 6 degrees, because it's the closest to the AC, and they got three vents in that room. And then, hey, if you want to do some sideband, I saw from the 4th to the 19th, they're having a Lewis and Clark Trail contest to see if you can make contact with the operators in 16 different states, and you get a little certificate for making contact on all the whole trail.
Is that going to be on one band or several?
Several different bands. I have to pull the site back up. I don't remember what it was. But it'll tell you when the operators are going to be on and what frequency and that.
I imagine it's probably on ARRL. Well, gosh, here's a bunch of contacts on sideband. Back in March, I can't even pronounce some of these. the Cayman Islands, Belize, Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico. And then there's some I can't even I can't even pronounce these things. I'm not even going to try.
March 8th, 2020, and that I think I picked up about 40 different countries that day. It was an awesome day.
March 5th of this year, unless for some reason I forgot to switch from the mode. From FT8 to sideband, but I don't think I did because I was doing FT8 before that, and then it went to sideband. And this was at a different. Now it was about the same time of day. But anyway, the furthest I've gone down to sideband is in. I made a contact in. St. Petersburg, Russia. This was before they, invaded Ukraine. In fact, it's been, gosh, at least a year or a year and a half ago, maybe longer.
I hear you. The furthest I haven't gotten any Russian contacts or any Asian contacts, but I did make a couple of contacts over in New Zealand and Australia.
Yeah, I can do Australia on FTA, but I don't hear any Australian stations on sideband at all.
The new antenna, sometimes I turn over to 10 megahertz, and that you can hear that. You can hear that atomic clock out of Colorado, but here lately I've been hearing the one out of Hawaii, so that's a good thing. Propagation must be picking up.
Yeah, I've talked out in California. I haven't talked to anyone in Hawaii. Again, I've made contacts on FT8 in Hawaii and even Japan, and I don't know which direction it's going around the globe to get to Australia, but it must be taking a long route. Well, I don't know if there is a short route, because it's showing about 10,000 miles, I think, away if the QRZ is accurate.
About pretty close. I think it was like, it was to the near side, and it was almost 9,000 miles, something like that.
Yeah, what's going on? They're still talking on 7.245. Like I said, they never gave the call signs, neither one of them, so, which is fine, I guess. I mean, I say it's fine. You're supposed to do it every 10 minutes, but I guess not everybody adheres to that. In fact, I haven't given mine KB4CPA, but I haven't heard the repeater ID, but it probably has. I just didn't notice it.
Same thing when you were saying it, KN4TFW, and now I didn't hear the repeater identify, and I'm enjoying getting back into doing some sideband and that. I hadn't done it for a couple of months, just had too many other things in the fire.
It's true, because people find out, that you're not busy during the day, and so they, you know, they want you to do this and do that for them, and especially my kids. And I tell you, it's you know, but I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's a different kind of busy.
Working, they didn't call you too much because they knew you were working, but now they figure that you're not doing anything, so you must be available, right?
No, I don't have any grass to cut and bushes to trim and oil to change in the car and, you know, this, that, and the other, so stuff to do around the house here. There's always something to do if you own a house, and but you know, I try to accommodate them. My youngest daughter wanted me to fix a recliner. Couple of the springs had popped loose, and it, you know, when you sit down, it was sagging. The seat was sagging on that side, and she said she was going to give it away. And I told her, I said, if you're giving it away, I'm not going to fix it. I said, I'll fix it for you, but I'm not going to fix it if you're giving it away.
To hear you on that one.
Done one for one thing, and I was looking at it, and I got to take the whole dang chair apart just to get to the springs, and they curve, and they're, of course, they're taut, so, you know, and they will not stretch. I put one in a vise, and my vise on my workbench, and I tried to stretch it a little bit, but you know, I clamped the vise grips to the other end, and man, that thing, I don't think I could have pulled it if I'd have hooked it to the back of a car or a truck or something. I mean, that thing is strong.
Springs, it'll definitely take a load, that's for sure. I mean, we used to deal with some on some tooling and that, and it's like all you could do to compress it.
I wasn't looking forward to doing all that. Yeah, you gotta take the chair completely apart. It's made out of wood, and all the bolts are, you know, they're real close to other pieces of wood, so it wasn't an easy tear down. And although I've got the tools to do it, I just, you know, they couldn't get over to my house. I have to go over there, so I don't know what sizes they are exactly, so I'd have to carry a bunch of wrenches and sockets over there, and because I don't even know if they're fractional or metric, so, you know, it's, I don't know, it's just a pain. And like I said, I've never done one before, so it'd be a new adventure.
PFW. Yeah, it's always an adventure going over to somebody else's house and to do a project, and you take everything that you think you need, but then there's one thing that you forgot, and then you end up trying to do everything with nothing, and it just makes it aggravating, right?
It sure does, especially when you know you got the tool that's just sitting over the house. And but anyway, I ask them if the back of it, some of these recliners, the back slides off, and you can just put the bottom part of it, and they have an SUV, and they said that they it didn't slide off, and they couldn't get it in the SUV, so I don't have a truck, so we're kind of stuck there. But anyway, that was just something else to do. I think it's sitting over in a corner. They'll eventually get rid of it, I guess.
You make it fit in that Mustang.
Sit on the top and be like the clampets, you know. I could find some lady that would be interested in sitting up there and holding the shotgun, and I could strap her in with a, you know, with a come along and, you know, keep her in there. I don't know if the chair would stay put or not.
Harness that we have, the back just pops right off. You just pull on it and it just slides right off, and it does make it a lot more convenient to do it that way for sure.
KB4CBA. So where are you right now?
We're on northbound 85, about a mile from I-26 interchange.
I got you on the input. Well, this radio, the only thing I don't like about it, it really gets warm, and I'm on low power. This is an ICOM 2300H, and I'm thinking I'm gonna have to put a little fan on this thing, because I just don't like, it's got heat sinks, but I think a fan would help it out a little bit.
ICOM 2730, but it's got a fan on it, and that I need to check it. I used to hear it when it was in the truck, but in the car I don't hear it running, so I gotta check it. That's pretty good. If you got me on the input and I'm all the way up here, that's pretty impressive.
Because my antenna is nothing to brag about. It's just a J-pole, and it's not a very high. But anyway. Yeah, I've got a 2730 in the car, and I don't hear the fan unless I'm sitting still in the traffic light. Of course, you know, my car makes a little bit of noise going down the road, you know, unless you're coasting. But even the road noise kind of drowns it out. It's under my seat there, so it's not easy to hear it running unless you're just, you know, just sitting at a dead stop.
Kind of the same way, it's under the seat, so you can't really hear it. And the seat's a little closer to it than it was in the truck. And that, but it's certainly a good radio. And trust me, my antenna I got on this car, it's only like a $20 little 18-inch long antenna, so that makes it even more impressive.
Gotta be kidding me. So is that a quarter wave? Is it 2 meter and 440? Is it just 2 meter or what?
It's supposed to be 2 meter 440 and that, but trust me, it's only like 18 inches tall. It's short.
Well, yeah, I've got a, I don't know what model number it is. It's a diamond antenna, and it's a 5/8 wave, and it covers 2 meter and 440. It's got a little, about halfway up, it's got a little twist in it for about 5 turns, and then it straightens back up again. And it's what I like about the whip is it's really stiff. It's not, you know, it doesn't blow around in the wind, so you don't get all that mobile flutter that you get, you know, on some of the antennas that have those whips on there. They just flop around and it messes up your signal.
The Comet something, it's only like about 30 inches tall, and it's got one of the UFO looking things in the middle and that, but yeah, it works good. This one, I was over by your house and could make the Mount Mitchell repeater. I checked into the net on Saturday.
I can hit Mount Mitchell with this one. Pretty sure I can. And I go up and see my sister in Maggie Valley. That's about the only repeater I listen to after I get out of range of this one. And there's when you're down in the valley and there's mountains on both sides of you, it's hard to get the Mount Mitchell repeater sometimes. It's kind of in and out. That's the only bad thing about living in the mountains. I being mobile up there, it's a little frustrating.
That one, I know. I haven't talked much on the Mount Mitchell. I've listened to it a little bit. I've checked in on Saturdays. They have a net at 8 o'clock and then a different net at 9 o'clock in the morning. I've done those when I was, out in the truck making a dump run and stuff like that.
So you're headed to work, so but where do you work?
Chemical plant up in Spartanburg, a place called Lubrizol. It's up off of exit 80, just north of Spartanburg.
Good chemicals.
It's funny, it's none of the chemicals have any names on them. They're just, the stuff that we make is just numbers. But I guarantee you, almost every single thing you use every day has something of theirs in it. From, Mobil 1 oil and Shell Pennzoil to windshield washer fluid to diapers, skin lotion, soaps. It makes it slicker or makes it absorb water, and we send stuff all over the world.
Dragging my feet there in case somebody wanted to jump in. Yeah, it's really interesting, the different chemicals you find in products, and it's like I don't know if you're familiar with Gojo hand cleaner, and it's just like a putty type thing, and you put it on dry and wash your hands with it, and then you rinse it off, but it's got petroleum in it, and generally that's what you're rinsing off or trying to get off your hands is petroleum and grease and all that stuff, and it's just really kind of funny, but it does have petroleum. And if you let it sit for a long, long time and not use it, it'll start, you'll start seeing a little oil in the bottom of it.
You got all kinds of stuff. We do a lot for L'Oreal Cosmetics and that, but the places like Fort Knox, if you don't have your identification and everything, you can't get in the gate. You can't get in the gate. Like if you're a salesman, if you don't have an appointment. And several of the chemicals are under lock and key, I guess, because it's a good candidate for, making bombs and stuff like that. It's funny out here. Everything's either got fire symbols on it because it's highly explosive, or skull and crossbones on it. All kinds of stuff like that, but there's tanker trucks coming in and out all day long.
It's exciting. Oh, me. Well, I tell you, we don't want to give that address out.
Those moments, think of something that I wanted to say, and then by the time it was my turn to say it, it's like, I completely forgot it, but that's all right. We'll remember it here in a little bit. And that, but it's definitely interesting. When I first came out, and you look at all the drums and all the containers, and you think, man, what have I gotten into? And that, but out here, everybody wears a radio, and that's how they communicate mostly throughout the whole plant, and if something happens, your radio goes off, and it's got, an emergency beacon on it, so they can find you, and that, so, but I have had a bunch of radios on order, and they're like 8 months out.
Well, that's good that it's got a locator on it. Because, if you get hurt and you can't move or whatever, then they can come find you. You don't have to yell, lay there and yell and scream, and heck, you could be unconscious for that matter. So, anyway, well, do you do anything with digital radio?
I started doing a little bit with my Anytone, and that I got a couple of repeaters programmed in it. I've made a few contacts on it, but I haven't done it too much.
Okay, are there there's some repeaters around here that are digital?
Yeah, I think there's one or two in Greenville and a couple in Spartanburg, and you can get on it, and then you type in what talk group you want to be on and that, and then it, and I know in North Carolina there's a bunch of them that are linked. You can talk all the way to the beach in North Carolina if you get on that particular talk group.
Is that called DMR?
Yeah, Roger.
What kind of radio is it again?
Anytone. It's like a, what is it? A 868 UV 2 plus or something. It'll do. It'll hold like 5,000 contacts and all kinds of information. It's a little bit of a learning curve, but once you figure out how to program it, it's not too bad.
You wouldn't have to remember the model number, would you?
A UV 868 2 plus, and that. But it's about a $300 radio right now. But I want to say it's an 868, but I can tell you in a minute here when I get parts.
Looking at them online here. So is yours, does it look like a mobile rig then? It's not an HT.
HT.
And so you just have one of those little, or do you have to have an outside antenna?
Mine, I can pick up the repeater from inside the house with it, so it's not too bad. And that it works really good for me from inside the house. I've talked to Andrew on it on DMR, and from in the garage, it's worked. You can get little hot spots, you know what I mean, to where you can connect to anything then. So it's pretty interesting how it works.
Well, here's a 25-watt dual-band VHF, UHF car radio. They call it a walkie-talkie, but it's got a radio face, and then it's got a microphone and a programming cable, $129.99. That doesn't sound too bad. It covers two-meter and 440.
That is an Anytone Alpha Tango Dash Delta 878 Uniform Victor 2 Plus.
Trying to get back to the page that I was on that had the HTs on it, and of course it won't let me do it. Oh, man, technology's great when it works, I tell you. Well, there they are. Okay. Well, I'd like to see one in action, because I hear it, it shows, call sign of the person that you're talking to, and some other things, and I just think it's really interesting.
And you hear me in the evenings, and I'm out walking the dog. That's what I'm using. You heard me. I was on it, and you were downtown, kind of like by Henry's Smokehouse, and you got me on the input from Greer.
So can you talk analog or digital on it, or is it just strictly digital?
No, you can do both.
No question, because then you were talking to me. Okay. Wow. Well, I may have to invest in one of those. They're
catch me in the afternoon, and you know, we can talk about it. If you want to come over and see it, you're welcome to do that too. KN4GFW.
Well, you have a good day, and I will talk with you later. KN4GFW, KD4CBA, clear.